Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray that this podcast will help you on that journey.
So I want to talk today, really hopefully to be the first of three in a series here on something pretty wonderful. And it is really one of the reasons why we are born, why we live, why we are alive right now, and why we've been born again. This marvelous thing happens for every single believer, every single follower of God, every single person who has joined this family. You know, when you became born again, I think a whole lot more happened than we realized. In the spirit world and inside of us, in our spirit man and our soul, where things started working and things started happening that we didn't even realize. And one of those, in becoming born again, which we just did by faith, in receiving Jesus, turning from our old ways, our own ways, and turning to Him, and God starts doing something, fills us with His Spirit, and starts working on the inside to change things. But we were accepted into a family. We were, as the Bible says in Colossians, transferred from the kingdom of darkness. We were in one kingdom that we didn't realize, called the kingdom of darkness. And we were transferred, shipped over, transferred into the kingdom of the Son, Jesus, the kingdom of light. You were transferred in that moment into a brand new kingdom, a brand new family. And part of that family and part of that kingdom that we are in gets something that is often not talked about in Christianity, unfortunately, but it is a reality, and that is we get to talk with God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Fellowship, relationship with God Himself, not second tier, third chair, sitting back, waiting for a pastor or someone holy to hear from God and pass that on to me. That is not how this works. We are all equals in the kingdom of heaven, where we are all children of God. And He wants to talk to every single one of us, like communicate for real every day. And this is this glorious relationship that we have. You know, religion is not that. Religion is the opposite. It's knowing about God, but not knowing Him. You can know a whole lot, like the Pharisees. They knew a whole lot of the Bible, but they didn't know God. Christianity, following Jesus, in its essence and its core, is relationship with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. Such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And there's scripture to back that up. 1 John 1, verse 3, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Then Jesus said in John 17, 3, "This is eternal life." Here's what eternal life is: "that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Knowing God, the highest honor and the greatest privilege is knowing God. And He so desires, gets excited about knowing us, walking with us. It's what Adam and Eve did in the garden. It's what we were brought back into through Jesus and His sacrifice and renting the veil so that we can enter in, come boldly before the throne of grace. We can have this fellowship and relationship with God Himself. And what we don't want to do is just learn about Him. We want to learn about Him. We want to learn more. We want to grow in our knowledge of God, but we want to grow in our relationship with Him, where we hear His voice and know what He sounds like and what He's saying on a daily basis. You know, that manna that they ate in the wilderness every day, it was fresh every single day. They couldn't store enough up for 2 days, except for on the Sabbath. Other than that, they had to have it fresh every day. And I think this relationship with God is supposed to be like that too. I need Him every day. I need this relationship with Him and to hear from Him every day. Where it's not just me going by rules. Here's my set of Christian rules. I'm going to go by this. No, that's not how this life works. It's this relationship with God, getting to know him, because we're going to continue to get to know him throughout eternity, but we get to here. So before any of our five sons were born, obviously my wife was pregnant with them one at a time. We didn't have any twins. But while she was pregnant with them, and I'm guessing that you parents out there did the same, as this baby is growing in the womb and it starts kicking and elbows and knees are going across there, you're feeling it. I started talking to this child. Before I ever saw their face, I would just start saying things to them. Talking to them. Can't wait to see you. What are you doing in there? Who are you wrestling with? Start talking to them. Can't wait for you to come out. Can't wait to get to meet you. Saying things over them. And then to them, my guess, is their ears are still probably developing in some way they're hearing, but they've got a bag of waters they're in, and they've got flesh to get through and skin for the sound of my voice to get to their ears. So it's going to be muffled. So whatever they're hearing is going to have a little bit of muffling, I'm assuming, as they're hearing, but they're hearing my voice dully. They're hearing the mom's voice. When she speaks, though, I'm sure her voice is echoing through her body a little bit, hearing mom's voice and hearing dad's voice. But then when they are born, and you say something to them, like we have a new granddaughter, when we say something to her, or I see, especially when I see her parents saying something to her, even soon after she was born, she responds to their voices. These are the voices she's heard for 9 months. But now they're clear. Now she can hear them more clearly. And that is so similar to you and I. Before we're born again, God is muffled. Can't hear him very well. All the things of the world in between us and him. But then you become born again. You're born into this brand new kingdom. The voice of God gets clearer. So much clearer. Yet, he is one that needs to be pursued. And it's just like God, you know, everything that he does. I'm amazed continually at the beauty of creation, the uniqueness of everything that he's made, the creativity of all these different things. I was just talking about this yesterday with fruit that we're eating. I mean, cutting into a pineapple and going, God, what an idea you had here. Alligator skin, incredible fruit on the inside, and all the fruits, and then the birds and the trees. Everything he does is spectacular, so creative, and it's unique. Nothing's exactly the same. It's unique, and it's the same with you and I, with the Father's communication with each of us. There's no two marriage in here that has the exact same communication from another marriage sitting across the aisle. Every marriage is unique. There's no father-daughter, mother-son relationship that's exact the same across. You all have these little things from experiences and movies you've seen and experiences you've had together. You'll say these little things that would only mean something to your child or to your spouse, mean nothing to anyone else. You get these specific and creative ways that you communicate with one another. And it's the same with us, with God. He communicates in creative ways. And for the first 20 years of my life, as I met the Lord when I was 7 years old, and as I started to grow in him, I had this my understanding at that time, my perception and paradigm was that God spoke in two ways, through the Bible and through a pastor. That was it. I was totally unaware that God is God, and he does things unlike I do. And he can do anything. He's the God of the impossible. And he speaks in a myriad of different ways. And part of my job as a follower of Jesus is to discover how he's speaking, not how I want him to. How is he speaking? What is he saying? And to pay attention, to have my ears and my heart, my being open to him, to look for him, actually be expectant. What are you going to say to me today, Lord? This is one of the joys of life. It's like a kid running to their parent, wanting to be around them, grabbing on their legs. They want to be near them. That's how we as children of God, we're called children of God, not adults of God. We're called the children of God, even as an adult. We're supposed to be childlike. The kingdom of heaven is wide open to the children, closed. I saw a vision one time, and the vision was a Dutch door. You know, we have several Dutch doors here, if you know what those are. We have them in all the kids' rooms. There are two doors in one. The top swings open, the bottom swings open and closed, right? It's called a Dutch door. I saw a vision one time of a Dutch door, and the top was closed, and the bottom was wide open. I was saying, Lord, what is all that about? And he said, well, if you're just going to go right on through there as your big adult self, you're going to hit your head on the door and fall down. But the children, they can run freely in and out of that. The humble go through. The proud hit their head. It's children. It's those who are come to the Father like he wants to talk to me. I want to be with him. He wants to be with me. And he's talking all the time. He's the God of all communication. I should say the King of communication. He speaks every language. Every language. Languages of the heart. Languages that are spoken and audible. He speaks every language. And he loves to communicate in fresh, unique ways with his kids that maybe they've never been spoken to previously. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There is a promise for every single follower of Jesus that you can hear the voice of Jesus. You say, well, some people can, but I can't. Wrong. Every single sheep of Jesus, follower of Jesus, can hear his voice. But are we paying attention to what he's saying? Are we open to the ways that he's speaking? We can do it. It's by faith. But he wants us to grow in hearing him so that when he says something, we get it. We respond. And oftentimes, he's saying something to us to give that away to someone else. Happens so many times that way. But this is an adventure. A bird was created to fly. You were created to hear God's voice. We were made in his image, and we were created by him with the capacity, supernaturally, to hear God speak. It's a wonderful thing. It's the quest of life. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read a few verses here with the boy Samuel, who you'll remember, Prophet Samuel. But before he was a prophet, he was a little guy who his mom gave to the temple to be raised there as a commitment to the Lord, answering a prayer that she had to have a child when she couldn't have children. So she leaves Samuel there. He grows up in the temple with the priests. Now, verse 1, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, he's just a boy, and the word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. Just a side note, we are not living in those days. Word from the Lord is not rare anymore. Visions are not infrequent now. Visions are frequent. Everyone in here probably has had visions that God has given to them, or multiple. And we have many yet that will happen. God is speaking today. But back then, it was rare. Verse 2, it happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. Verse 3, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Samuel chooses to sleep next to the ark of the covenant. That's where he is sleeping. And the Lord, verse 4, that the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. Verse 6, the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, you called me." But he answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel, this is the key here, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, or you could say he did not yet recognize the Lord's voice. Nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he arose and went to Eli again and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Samuel was certain he was hearing a voice. And that voice sounded like Eli. He kept running into his room. Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. It shall be that if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10, "Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times." This is the fourth time. "Samuel, Samuel," which probably sounded like Eli saying, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." And the story goes on. I'll tell you to stop because you'll want to keep reading. Samuel, this wonderful little boy, hears God speak. This is God speaking. But the voice sounds like someone he knows, Eli. So he keeps running to him. Eli says, "It's not me. If you hear it again, respond to the Lord and say, 'Speak, Lord, I'm listening.'" And he did, and the Lord does. And from there, he later on becomes a prophet, hears the Lord's voice many, many times, very clearly throughout his life for a whole nation. But it started here with Samuel sleeping on the ground next to the Ark of the Covenant and hearing God and thinking it sounded like someone else. I have often heard the Lord and thought it was me or someone else. I've done the same thing. It's interesting where Samuel chose to sleep next to the Ark of God, which represents the presence of God. That's where Samuel was. But today, for you and I, we have become that ark. Every single follower of Jesus now is the temple of God where the Spirit of God lives. So back here in Samuel's day, God spoke from the outside to the outside of him, to his natural ear. Today, most times, God's speaking on the inside because that's where he lives now. He doesn't have to speak from the outside. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. We are the roving, you've heard me talk about it just recently, we're the roving Ark of the Covenant now. We're the new Ark of the Covenant, the place where we have a covenant through Jesus, and we are now the temple of the living God. He lives in me. So he's connected, as he lives on the inside, he's connected to every part of who I am and every part of who you are. The Holy Spirit's connected to your brain, your thoughts, your memories, your senses, your skin, your spirit. The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. We're joined to the Lord in spirit. He's joined to every part of who we are, and he can speak in a myriad of ways from the inside. He can also still do it from the outside, but it's less often, at least in my experience. I've heard the audible voice of the Lord a couple of times, but it's not often for me. Maybe the same for you, but he is speaking just like Samuel was learning to hear his voice. I and you are learning to hear the Lord's voice. And he will often sound like someone else is speaking. And sometimes it happens in dreams as well. You may have a dream, and there'll be a certain figure in that dream who may be an authority figure or something. Sometimes that person may represent the Lord. Doesn't mean it's God, but he may represent the Lord. That happens a lot because it's just like this situation. One of my first experiences in understanding this and growing in the prophetic and hearing God's voice, which is, the prophetic just simply means to speak forth. It's that simple. But learning about the Lord speaking forth to me and hearing it, I was sitting in a class, went to ministry school way back, 1995. And I was in class early on. We had just started the school, and the leader did something unusual that day. I was not used to any of this stuff, by the way. And he took a chair from the front row, turned it around, faced the class, an empty chair. And he said, there's a person in here who is praying that the Lord would speak to him about an important issue in his life. And he hasn't heard from the Lord yet, so how about we as a class do a fun experiment? How about we ask the Lord to show us the answer to what he's praying for and see if he'll show us, and then we'll tell him. And I thought, that is weird. It's exactly what I thought, and I wasn't sure I wanted to participate in this. Just to be honest, that's right where I was. And then I had the second thought was, I am in a school. Perhaps I'm here to learn something. So, humble myself, walk through the Dutch door, the lower one. And so I just said, okay. He prayed for once, 10 seconds. Lord, we ask that you'd speak to us for this person. And actually, he did have the person sit there, too. It was a guy. His name is Corey. And so we prayed. I prayed, Lord, speak to me. I don't know how this is going to go. I only think you speak through the Bible and the pastor, and I got my eyes closed, so I'm pretty limited here on what you're going to say. I waited just a moment. I mean, I got nothing. The instructor says, okay, anybody get anything? You got a couple of people raise their hands. I'm staring at the floor. You know what that means for a teacher? You call on that person, right? So he called on me and said, Matt, what did you get while we were praying? And I said, nothing. And he said, really? He said, let me ask you a different question. He said, what were you thinking about while we were praying? Now, that's entirely different. That's entirely different. Because I, during prayer, often daydream. I don't suppose anyone else in here has ever done that before. But I was asking, I did ask initially, and as I was just waiting, I was daydreaming. I was thinking about something, and for some reason I was thinking about, and so this is what he said. He said, what were you thinking about? So I said, embarrassingly, well, I didn't want to share what I was thinking about, but I said, I was thinking about a friend of mine who went to Guatemala to adopt a child. And I looked up and the leader said, Corey, what is it that you're praying about? He said, we're trying to adopt a child from Guatemala and want to see if it's the Lord. And I about fell out of my chair. Because I was beating myself up that I'm daydreaming while praying when God was using that relationship that I had after I asked for an answer from him to show me something that he was communicating as an answer to prayer for the guy that we're praying for. Now, that blew away all of my paradigms. It's like, wait a minute. I have so many times beat myself up for daydreaming while I'm supposed to be praying. When God was, who knows how many thousands of times, was probably trying to communicate to me something in my daydream or my memory of something that suddenly comes out that I would not normally be thinking about. God was speaking to me, and he was confirming something for Corey that was pretty amazing. Now, that I then had to say, okay, I need to rethink a lot. I need to rethink a lot about how God speaks. He is not in a box. God's not in a box. And subsequent to that, I began having a lot of different experiences in hearing God's voice that were not normal for me. And recognizing, oh my goodness, he's been talking to me all along, and I've thought it was just me. Or I beat myself up for it. And so it started this, I would say, an adventure with God. It's an adventure with God when you begin to recognize he's talking in ways, he's communicating, maybe a better way to say it instead of talking, he's communicating in ways that I am not used to, but they are wonderful. A man came to a pastor one time, wasn't me, but he said, "Pastor, I've had a hellish dream, and I don't understand. I want to tell you." And he said, "Okay, sure, fire away." So I said, "I had this dream with this huge bowl. It was like 4.5 feet tall, 6 feet across. It was a bowl of hot soup." And he said, "Myself and several people were standing around the bowl, and we were all starving in the dream. We were just starving, hungry. And the spoons that we all had, we each had a spoon, but each spoon was 6 feet long." So he said, "In the dream, we are getting a spoonful, and we are trying to swivel this around to get to our mouths, and none of us can do it. And so we're hungry, the food's there, but we can't eat it." And he said, "That was my dream." And the pastor said, he was a wise pastor, he said, "You're mistaken, that's not a hellish dream. That's the dream of the kingdom." He said, "That soup the Lord has provided, and those spoons aren't for you. It's for every person to take some of the soup and give it to the person across the bowl. And then everybody around the bowl eats and feeds another person." He said, "It's a picture of the kingdom. We are here with the gifts that God has given to us to give them away, with the words that God gives us to help other people, to help nourish other people, to help feed other people. It's not about me. It's not about you." Jesus kind of said this a little bit differently in Luke chapter 11, starting with verse 5. Jesus said, then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, goes to him at midnight and says to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And from inside, he answers and says, 'Don't bother me. The door's already been shut. My children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you," verse 8, "even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." So then Jesus says, "So I say to you," to all of his followers, "ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Now, I've heard that verse my whole life. Ask, knock, seek, ask, knock, all those. But it's all been personal. In the context that Jesus shares it, it's about a friend asking for bread for a friend of his. Jesus saying, "I'll give you as much as you need." Now, certainly we can ask for ourselves as well, but just the context of this story is it's for other people. Verse 11, "Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asked for an egg, he'll not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There is a promise here that when we ask of Jesus, particularly for those things for someone else, "I'm asking, Lord, that you would give a word to Ethan. I ask that you give a word of encouragement," I can be assured that he's going to give me as much as needed for that moment. That's amazing. That's feeding the person across the bowl. And it's hearing from God for ourselves as we hand that away. That's encouragement. And of course, there are guidelines related to that, which is in 1 Corinthians 14, to encourage people. I remember when I was early on pastoring, we had our first child. He was probably four. We were in a worship service, and I had him on my shoulders during the worship. We were kind of bopping around during the worship, and he leaned over and, you know, tried to get my attention. "Called me Papa. Papa." I said, "Yes, Josiah." And he said, "Can I have some money?" And my immediate thought was the Coke machine that was at the back of the church. It was $1 a Coke. And I thought, no. And I said, "What for?" And he said something like, "There's a man who needs it." And I thought, oh, okay. So then I put my hand in my pocket, I give him some money. And let him go, and there he goes. There's a lot of people standing, worshiping. And he just starts weaving in between people. Gets up to the front, and there's this guy worshiping the Lord, and he starts pulling on his pant leg. And the guy, he's like, what is going on? And he kept doing it. He looked down and sees this little boy. And he's got his hands out with the money, just a big smile. Doesn't know him, never seen him before. And I'm watching all this. And that guy then takes the money, looks around like, do you not have a parent? And then just starts worshiping the Lord more. And it was like the Lord then spoke to me through that and said, that's like Luke 11. When you ask for something for someone else, I love to give you as much as needed to give away. The Lord loves that. A father loves that. I loved watching my son do that. And the Father loves it when we do that. Asking the Lord for good things, encouraging words, help, insight for other people, word from heaven. He loves that.